Earlier today, René Préval was declared the winner of Haiti's first presidential election in more than 5 years. Voters turned out in droves for last week's election, but that optimism soon turned to suspicion and protest as allegations of fraud emerged. If you have questions about the elections in Haiti and about what happens next, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is talk@npr.org. We're going to discuss this with Robert Fatton. He's the author of Haiti's Predatory Republic, The Unending Transition to Democracy. Excuse me. He's also a professor of government and foreign affairs at the University of Virginia and joins us now from the studio at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Thanks very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
You grew up in Haiti. You've studied Haiti's political world. What's your reaction to the victory of René Préval today?
Well, if you look at the last few days, the victory of Préval is something that you should say was logical. It was almost inevitable. And ultimately, I would say it was a fair victory in spite of very serious electoral problems. When I say that it was inevitable, it's because of the vote itself. I mean, Préval, when the total vote was stopped at about 49%, mm-hmm. and he only needed about 1% to be over the 50% plus one, so
yeah,
he would
This was a preliminary round, unless some one person got more than 50% of the vote.
Exactly. And the controversy was whether Préval had 50% or not. And what happened in the last 2 or 3 days was, in the first place, that Préval claimed that there was a fraudulent election and that people were, to put it bluntly, stealing the election from him. Then, and that's a very critical factor in the whole equation, is the reality of people power, as it were. Thousands and thousands of people, in particular in Port-au-Prince, went out and protested the results and put enormous pressure on the Electoral Council and the interim government of Monsieur Latortue. And that led to a situation where the interim government decided that it would investigate the claims of fraud. And in the last 2 days in particular, it became increasingly clear that fraud existed. The question is whether that fraud was so widespread that it would have deprived Préval of his victory in the first round or not. Mm-hmm. And it appears that the fraud was extensive, probably not as large as Préval had claimed, but extensive enough that it would have cut that 1 or 2% that Préval really needed.
Yeah. It is important to suggest that at various points, fraud in elections in Haiti can cut both ways.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most elections in Haiti are not necessarily very clean. But in that election, it's probably the cleanest elections we've had, but because you had a significant number of foreign observers and you had a computerized system, and lists of voters were duly tabulated, etc. But the evidence of the fraud came out on Tuesday evening, when suddenly they discovered thousands and thousands of ballots burning in a dump. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Haitian TV, Haitian radios went to the scene and discovered that most of those votes actually were votes for Mr. Préval. And it was very difficult at that point to stop the popular pressure. Mm. And the international community began to talk about a deal. And yesterday, Brazil, which is the most significant actor in Haiti in terms of its contribution to the United Nations troops, declared that it would like to see a deal whereby Mr. Préval would in fact get his 50%. Mm-hmm. And the deal was eventually struck last night. And what happened is that there was a so-called blank vote. And the blank vote was subjected to all kind of controversy. The blank vote is a vote where no one votes for anyone, and it's provided actually by the Constitution. The problem, though, is the extensive nature of that vote. It represented something like 125,000 votes. And most Haitians don't believe that people would have gone to vote, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and waiting 8, 9, 10 hours to vote and would have just taken a blank vote. That did not make sense in the political atmosphere of Haiti. And in addition, it appears, too, that many of those blank votes were stuffed in the ballot boxes. So last night they decided that they would just discount that vote. And at that point, Préval got his 51%.
Well, joining us now on the line from Haiti is Amelia Shaw, freelance reporter. She's in Port-au-Prince. Good to have you on the program, Amelia, again.
Oh, it's great to be back, Neil.
I wonder, this declaration of this deal last night, does it sound as if, to an outsider, it sounds as if everybody just decided it was going to be too much trouble? We should point out that this is the, fourth or fifth attempt to hold a presidential election in Haiti, that after all this time, too much trouble to have a second round, let's just make everybody happy and declare Préval the winner.
Well, it does seem that way. It seems very much like the international community was, in a sense, scrambling to pick up the pieces after everything fell apart. It's like they held beautiful elections last week, which were largely uncontested, up until the time when Préval's lead started to decline. And many Haitians, I believe, yesterday were starting to ask themselves, where are we going with this? How are we going to pull ourselves out of this impasse? And I think in many ways, for people, even for people who didn't vote for Préval necessarily, the celebrations this morning were as much about celebrating the fact that Préval was president as the fact that this conflict had been resolved. And so there were many people out there celebrating who didn't vote for Préval, but who were just happy that they had a president.
So this will not undermine his legitimacy, the idea that 6 months from now people could start whispering, well, you know, he didn't really get elected.
I think that that's very unlikely. You know, first, he has such wide international backing. Second, he has just a very wide voter support base. You know, let's remember, he was by far the most popular candidate out of the 33 candidates that were on that ballot. And he has the fierce support of supporters of former President Aristide, which is also, you know, while it is a benefit to him right now, it's also going to pose its own sort of challenge down the road.
And particularly if Mr. Aristide returns to Haiti, and has there been any news of that at all?
I'm not sure what the official news is, but sometimes people who live in Haiti say that this country sometimes runs on rumors, and that many of the people who voted for Préval did so with the intent and with the deep desire to have Aristide return. And so, you know, people said to me, a vote for Préval is a vote for Aristide. And so I think that there is a very high expectation among his support base that he will make it so that Aristide can return from exile.
And finally, Amelia, in the days, the last couple of days when there were all these allegations of fraud and charges that the election was stolen, there was unrest developing, another round of unrest in Haiti. Has this declaration of Mr. Préval as the winner in the presidential election, has that diffused all of that?
I would say absolutely, or at least it's diffused it for the moment until something else creates instability. But this is to say, you know, when those ballots were found on the dump site and they were televised on national TV, hundreds of Haitians went to the dump and started scavenging, as much looking for, you know, a piece of the historical moment as they were looking to hold a piece of the proof in their hands, which in their minds, you know, this is incontrovertible proof that there was fraud. You know, and so at that moment, there was no way that the United Nations or the international community would have been able to come up with an explanation for those ballots that would have satisfied the general public.
Amelia Shaw, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Amelia Shaw, freelance reporter and a former Talk of the Nation intern, joined us from Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Still with us is Robert Faton. And I wanted to ask you also, as we heard from Amelia, this is not Mr. Préval's first term as president of Haiti. He was in between Mr. Aristide's two terms. And is that going to give him a leg up, do you think, in trying to, consolidate his presidential victory and then move on to incorporate some of the programs that he was talking about?
Well, there are lots of problems that Mr. Préval is going to have to face. Problems related to the reconstruction of the country, problems related to the creation of a government, and there is a very significant issue that has been totally ignored in the past few days, and that is the second round of the electoral process for the Senate and the Congress. And there, you may have a significant problem, because it may well be that in the Senate and the Congress, you will get a very different configuration of power. People who are opposed to Préval and some people who are prepared to collaborate with him, but who might not, in fact, be from his own party. So once you have that election, you need to get a prime minister. And this is going to be one of the immediate critical issues facing Mr. Préval, because he will need to create a government that could appeal not only to his base, but also to people who voted against him. So this is going to be a very complicated exercise, a balancing act, and he needs to be very careful. If he is successful, at that point, I think the future will look better than at the present moment.
We're talking about the presidential election and the future in Haiti. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a caller on the line. This is Sodley, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, calling from Atlantic City in New Jersey.
Yes, you pronounce it very well, and you have a wonderful show.
Thank you.
For the result about Préval, I would think that was the people's choice. The people wanted Préval to be the president. And I'm a businessman that traveled from here in Haiti. When Préval was president the first time, I could say that business was going perfect. After that, everything, died. So I think Haiti have a better future right now, and I'm hoping that the Haitian people work together on that result.
You're a businessman, you say. Would this election make you more willing to invest in Haiti?
Well, exactly. That's exactly what I'm going to do, is try to invest more, because Haiti, like they said, is a very poor country. So it would be wise for the other Haitians that have money to go invest in their country, so to help their own people.
Robert Faton, Haiti needs a lot of people like Sodley to come in and invest a lot of money. The economy, I don't think it's too far away from a basket case.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the things that we will be watching is whether Mr. Préval will be successful in drawing into his government the so-called Haitian diaspora, in particular Haitian Americans. And he may be able to do that by doing something fairly simple. That is to say, trying to incorporate into his cabinet or in some fundamental way a Haitian American from Texas who's a millionaire by the name of Monsieur Siméus. And if he can draw Mr. Siméus, I think he would be able to extend, as it were, his power towards the constituencies that had been previously marginalized. I think that would be a very smart move. And there are other constituencies which have also appeared in Haiti, and people have not really talked about them. And those constituencies are very much what you might call the evangelical vote in Haiti. The candidates are two candidates who were Protestant candidates, and they did extremely well in the group that followed Mr. Préval. They were very close, and actually, if they had joined together, they probably have been in third place. And one of them, a fellow by the name of Chavan Jeanne, declared that he supported Préval and that there was no need for a second round. So at that point, I assume that Mr. Préval will extend his hand towards Mr. Jeanne, who has all kinds of networks, Protestant networks, in Haiti, as well as a very extensive network of connection to the United States.
Sodley, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We should note that the White House issued a statement earlier today, quote, "We congratulate Mr. Preval on his victory. We look forward to working with the new government to help the Haitian people build a better future for themselves." State Department spokesman Tom Casey said in a written answer to a question, "Our understanding is that the results of these elections respect Haitian laws and regulations." And Robert Fathon, the blessings of Washington are not unimportant here.
Absolutely critical. Mr. Preval needs very good relations with the United States. There is a saying in Mexico that many Haitians share, and that's so far from God, but so close to the United States. And to that extent, I think Mr. Preval will feel much better knowing that the United States, at least at the moment, is welcoming his election and accepting the results as fair and free.
Let's see if we can get another caller in. Ed's calling from West Windsor in New Jersey.
Yes, Neil, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, how are you? Great show. I always listen to you, and I enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to say, first of all, my parents came here in the early 50s. I mean, even before Baby Doc's father, Papa Doc, was around. And so, naturally, as Haitian Americans, we've always had a vested interest in Haiti and what's going on. But I just want to revert back to something that your guest was talking about earlier. And that was about the fraudulency in elections. You know, the bottom line is this, and I think many Americans need to understand this as well. Haiti's history has not been that geared towards, quote-unquote, democracy as we know it today, and particularly as an example what we're trying to do in Baghdad. And so, in essence, fraudulency has always existed, except when there's been a coup d'etat. And why? Because all of a sudden there's a coup d'etat and there isn't any fraudulency.
Only one vote counts then.
That's exactly right. And let me make this clear. I'm not advocating coup d'etats. I certainly do advocate democracy, but the bottom line is that Haiti is not ready for instant democracy, nor is Iraq, for that matter. Hmm. It's the same thing that's going on. The only difference is we don't have Americans dying over there.
Hmm.
Not yet, at least.
Exactly. Or not this time.
Right. And so, democracy, as we know it, really came about during the Clinton administration. That's yesterday, for all intents and purposes.
And just give me, Robert Fathon, 20 seconds to respond because we're running up against the clock.
Sure.
Well, I think that in the situation in Haiti right now, the best thing that could have happened were, in fact, democratic elections in spite of their imperfections. We need a legitimate government which is perceived by the vast majority of Haitians as legitimate, and the best way to do that is to go and vote. So I'm welcoming that election and hope for the best.
Well, that's true.
And very quickly, Ed.
Yeah, that's true, but at the same time, I would think that look what happened with the...
Ed, got to go. I'm sorry. We're just up against it. Appreciate your call. And Robert Fathon, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Robert Fathon's book, Haiti's Predatory Republic, and he joined us from the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Ira's here tomorrow. We'll see you Monday. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.